Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. This is a short letter toward the end of the New Testament, that far into your Bible, if you can see that way. 2 Timothy is just after 1 Timothy, and right before Titus. So if you find either of those, it's right in between them. 2 Timothy is going to be our focus for this coming month. We're going to work our way through it, through this month of October. And we'll start with the first 14 verses. 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks this day for this word, and we ask that you would fill us with the Spirit of God, that you would speak to us through this word, and that our meditations would be pleasing to you. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. One thing I forgot was to dismiss children third grade and under for children's church. My apologies. Third grade and under. Leslie and Isabella will go with you, and Liz will go with you downstairs for children's church. My apologies. We tried to keep them from hearing my voice too much. I was supposed to do that before I read scripture. It's a new thing for us. What's that? You don't know where your shoes went. Well, I don't have them, Jenna. I'm sorry. They're right there with your mom. Yeah, and then you can head downstairs, okay? I kind of don't know where my shoes are. I have days like that, too. How cute. Have you ever watched a relay race being run? On your mark, get set, go, right? Have you ever run a relay race yourself? Anybody run in a relay? Robert? Wow, and Ron too? Yeah. And Shane, of course, he's in cross country. Okay, lots of you. You know how a relay race works, right? Whether you've run in one or you have seen one run, surely you know. The first runner goes and starts running. And then at a certain point when they've run as far as they're supposed to run, the next runner starts running too from that point. And then there is this very anxiety-inducing moment where something very important has to happen. The baton has to be passed from one person to the next. And it's especially anxious for the person who's in front, because they're not looking behind them while they run. They're just waiting for that baton to hit the hand, and then you go. If that baton pass doesn't happen correctly, the race is over, right? If you drop the baton, you're done. That's it. You have to carry the baton from one person to the next, to the next, to the next, to complete the full relay race. Passing the baton, carrying the baton, is an incredibly important thing to do. When I was a math teacher, once upon a time, I tried to pass the baton, so to speak. So many of my students would get frustrated with the problems. I hate the word problems, because they're not real problems. Government shutdowns are problems. Wars in foreign lands are problems. Math things are not problems. Change the language. I tried to help them with the work that they were doing, of course, but there were so many times when they would just get frustrated and throw the pencil down and say, I don't know why I'm doing any of this, I'm never going to use it in the rest of my life, and I give up. Thank you, Lawrence. He said, true. And I say, no, not true. What I tried to convince, and didn't do it very well, my students was that the issue was not the problems themselves. What you're doing when you're doing math work is teaching your mind to think in a way that's different than the way it normally thinks. And that is something that persists down the road. That was the baton that I was trying to pass to my students. I think some of them might have dropped it along the way, but that's neither here nor there. Passing the baton is the theme of 2 Timothy. It's written by Paul, the apostle who wrote many of the letters in the New Testament, writing to a young church leader, Timothy, who is taking up the reins, carrying the baton, so to speak, for the next generation of church leaders. Paul is writing from prison, probably in Rome, and his journey is just about over. Tradition has it that he was executed in Rome because of his faith, and Timothy was one of those who was going to carry it on into the next decade or so. Paul wrote this letter to encourage Timothy, to inspire him to keep the faith and to stay strong in his duties as one of the leaders in the church. But before you check out and say, well, this is just a letter between pastors and it doesn't really have anything to do with me, let me assure you that this is a letter for all of us. This is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God, and it speaks into each one of our lives, no matter where we are in service in the church. This letter is meant to encourage each of us in the work that we do. Timothy needed to learn not to fear, not to be ashamed, not to be dragged down by the problems that he was facing. And when you put it that way, church leader or not, I think we all need that at some point in our lives. Perhaps even right now you're facing that in your own life. You need to be reassured, to learn not to fear, to not be ashamed of this thing called Christian faith, of this one called Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're feeling dragged down by the problems that you're facing. This is stuff that we all have in common with Timothy. No matter what suffering he would face, like Paul was suffering in prison, Timothy needed to be reassured, and so Paul invited him to do some self-inspection. And so we are invited too, to do some self-inspection. Is there a spirit of fear in us? Or is there a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline? That was the challenge to Timothy. And it sounds a lot like the challenges that we might face today. This is about self-confidence, self-assurance, self-validation, self-respect. But lest we focus so much on ourselves that we miss the point, let me caution us as we begin this journey through 2 Timothy that the path of following Christ is not right because we do right. The path of following Christ is not the right thing to do because we're behaving so well or because we are so good of disciples. The path of following Christ is right because of the one who lives in us. It is right because of the one who saved us and called us to live holy lives. There is a good deposit that has been entrusted to us, and that good deposit is the very Spirit of God. It has been passed from one generation to the next, from Paul to Timothy to whoever came after Timothy, on down the line, all the way to us today. And even to our children, even to those who have just gone downstairs today, wondering where their shoes might be. They'll figure those things out as they go along. We're passing the baton, you know, from one generation to the next. But unlike a relay race in which the baton is something external to the runners, where the baton can be dropped and left behind, and the runner can run as fast as the runner wants, but the baton is left behind, separate from the runner. Unlike that, this race that we run as followers of Christ is internal. The baton that is passed from one person to the next lives inside us, the Spirit of God. It's not to be dropped. It's not to be left behind. It's carried with us. He is carried with us as we go along our journeys. Like the math problems that I would try to help my students with, those were external to them, and it didn't really matter to them if they solved them or not. The problems that we face, that the Spirit of God helps us to face, are internal. These are intrinsic to who we are. It's kind of existential, this quest of following Christ. And Paul is quick to remind Timothy and us that we are part of something larger than ourselves. Paul tells Timothy, he reminds Timothy, that he is serving God, Paul is serving God just as Paul's forefathers did. Paul is not the first one in this journey. He has inherited the Spirit of God from those who have gone before. And so has Timothy. Paul reminds Timothy, I've watched your faith be passed from your grandmother Lois to your mother Eunice, and now it lives in you too. The baton is being passed from one generation to the next. So let me ask you this. Who are Lois and Eunice in your life? Who are those people from whom you have inherited the faith? They may be your mother and grandmother in a biological sense. My mother and her mother are still living, and I've very much inherited my faith from them, and from my father too, but when I see Lois and Eunice, I see Gloria and Brenda. Those are names that are familiar to me. But there are others that are not related to me from whom I've inherited the faith. Who are Lois and Eunice in your life? Who brought you to this point? Who has passed the baton to you? Or perhaps, who is passing the baton to you? Maybe you haven't really grabbed hold of it yet. Or rather, maybe the baton has not yet completely grabbed hold of you. Who is passing it along? Paul encourages Timothy not just to observe the faith living in him and to give thanks for the Lois and Eunice before him who have passed it on to him, but he uses very evocative language. Fan it into flame. Fan into flame the gift of God that is within you. Work on that good deposit that is inside you. If you've ever built a campfire, you know what that means. If you've ever started a fire from scratch, you know you have to fan it into flame. It doesn't just go on its own, unless you happen to have a lot of lighter fluid. And then it might. Never mind. Fan it into flame. Work on the good deposit that is within you. But again, not for your own sake. Not so that you can say, look how good of a fire I built. Look at how good I am at transmitting the flame to other people. But rather for the sake of the flame itself. Fan into flame the gift of God for the sake of the gift of God. For the sake of the good deposit, which is the Holy Spirit. As Annie read for us from Luke 17, just a few moments ago, we are all just servants of God. Let's not boast about how great we are, but at the end of the day, let's just be thankful that we're part of the game and part of the team and have been chosen to participate in this adventure. To God belongs all the glory. So as we fan the flame in our own lives, we're just servants of God doing our duty. That's what we do. Paul encourages Timothy to keep the faith, to keep the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love. But what are faith and love? Well, my mind goes to the end of 1 Corinthians 13. Now these three abide, these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of those is love. Faith and love. What are faith and love? I see faith pointing toward the internal work that goes inside us, the flame of God building inside us, the Spirit of God growing in us, drawing us into closer discipleship with the Lord. It's an internal work of self-discipline. Faith is. And love, what is love but an outward expression? Something that reaches out to those around us to explain the faith that is in us, to share with others the faith that is in us, to serve others because of the faith that is in us. It is external. Discipleship and outreach, faith and love. Paul encourages Timothy to participate in both movements of the Christian faith. Grow closer to God and love those around you. And don't be afraid while you are doing it. Don't be ashamed. How many times this morning in the scripture readings, the responsive reading and from Luke 17, were we called on not to fear? This is something I wrestle with. I'm an anxious person. You know that about me if you've been around me a long time. I deal with anxiety issues, and sometimes it's a party between, you know, these two hands. But and not in a fun way. I wrestle with it, and maybe you do too. Do not fear. Don't be ashamed of who you are in Christ. Instead, live confidently and boldly with faith and love in Christ. How does this take? How does this take shape in our world? How do we live confidently and boldly for the sake of Christ? A lot of the time, I see folks who want to push this in the realm of taking political action or doing things along the lines of what goes in yards of courthouses or what happens in schools or doesn't, and all well and good, but I don't think that's what living boldly and confidently in faith and love is about. I don't see it playing itself out that way in Scripture. When I look at what happens in Scripture, especially between Paul and Timothy in this passage, what is called for is not aggressive action to change the culture, but rather sacrifice for the sake of Christ, so that the world sees that who is within us is authentic, and who is within us is true, and is right, and is love. It calls for imprisonment on Paul's part and his execution down the road. It calls for suffering. Time and time again, not just in this passage, but in many passages, Scripture calls for us to suffer for the sake of the gospel. Not to win the day as if we were conquistadors, but to suffer for the sake of the gospel. What does that look like? What does that mean? Maybe it means selling all you have and going to Guatemala. Will it be all peaches and rainbows? Probably not. There will be some suffering as Lawrence and Joe go to Guatemala. They will have to give up things. Us, their families. Well, not giving up, but just moving away from, you know. There will be suffering involved there. Where do we find suffering in our lives? How have Lois and Eunice, who have run the race before us, suffered for the sake of the gospel? And how does that inspire us to do the same? It's not meant to be easy, but it's meant to be good. Because the Spirit of God dwells in us, and that flame, should it be fanned and grown inside us, will not go out. Even in the darkest of days, there will be light because of God living within us. By God's power, Paul says, we can suffer for the gospel, whatever form that looks like. Only by God's power, and then in very beautiful language, comparing and contrasting different things, he says what this looks like. God's power. He saved us and he called us to holy living. But not holy living by our own works, but rather by his grace. But his grace, well, what about his grace? It was given before the beginning of time in Christ Jesus. But it's given now in Christ Jesus, as he appears in the world. And this Christ Jesus destroyed death through his death on the cross and through his resurrection to eternal life. He destroyed death and he brought life, true life in this world and eternal life, hope for beyond the grave that even begins now. He brought eternal life to light, destroying death, bringing life to light. This is why we should suffer in the world. Because of this one. Not because of any other agenda or any other desires of our hearts, but because of this one. This is the reason why we should fan the flame. This is the reason that we should guard that good deposit. This is why we are not to be ashamed. Because we know whom we have believed. And we're persuaded that He is able to keep what we have committed to Him against that day. That day when He returns. That day when judgment comes. That day when the Lord separates people as one would separate sheep from goats. And welcomes those who are in Him into the kingdom of heaven. Lois and Eunice have committed that to Him against that day. Your Lois, your Eunice have committed that to Him. The baton is passed to us, and we pass it to each other and to those who walk alongside us. No matter where you are in the race, if you're nearing the finish line, or if you're in transition, waiting for the baton to come behind you and you just don't know where it is, or even if you're just a spectator on the sidelines right now, no matter where you are in the race, study the baton. Study the gift of God, the Spirit of God that dwells within those who believe. Learn the baton. Learn the Spirit. And no matter how frustrating the math problem may be, see, this is an analogy. No matter how frustrating the math problem may be, don't throw the pencil down, don't push the book off the desk, and give up, because then the problem is won. But there is victory in Christ for those who will stick to the book. God will shape your thinking, because there is a solution in Him. The Spirit of God dwelling within us changes how we approach the world. Changes how we value ourselves. Changes the way we understand our connection to the church and how we can be participants in the life of the church. The Spirit of God is the one who draws us close to Him and to each other. Give thanks for Lois and Eunice in your life. And consider how you might become Lois or Eunice for someone else. Who needs to carry the baton from here? Well, all of us do, because none of us are done running the race. Wherever you are in the race, through faith and love, drawing close to God and serving others, serve God sacrificially. Whatever the cost may be, let us pay that cost out of thankfulness to the Lord for all that He has done for us. Not as repayment, but as a sacrifice of obedience out of grateful hearts. Let's run the race together and carry the baton for as long as we possibly can. Amen? Amen. O Lord, our God, we give You thanks this day for this letter, a personal letter between two servants of Yours that has been preserved for us to read even today, so many years after it was written. We pray, Lord, that You would inspire in us a desire to fan into flame the great gift that You have placed within us. And I pray for each of us gathered here today that we would move forward on the journey of faith, that we would take steps forward in the relay race, carrying the baton of the Spirit of God with us every day. Draw us close to You. And give us eyes to see how we can serve You in the world around us. Walk with us, no run with us, no run ahead of us, and with us, and behind us, every day this week and in the weeks to come. In the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray these things. Amen.